Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of November, and I'm recording at 10:15 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, we'll just have a quick look at what's happened here this week. And the main story, as far as stock markets are concerned, that after 6 weeks consecutively to the upside that we had seen just before this week, we were inevitably due for a bit of reaction and consolidation. And we've certainly been seeing that. This has been a week in which profits have been taken, and obviously some of the shorting element of the market have re-entered here once again, and we've seen some pullbacks, and that has certainly corrected the short-term overbought conditions that we were seeing after 6 weeks to the upside, and it's getting close to creating some short-term oversold conditions. And I think that if we see a weak markets on Monday, and that wouldn't surprise me too much. So we get a little bit of selling in the early part of next week that will push those short-term indicators down to an oversold position. That doesn't mean that they will bounce immediately, but it would suggest that we had seen the larger portion of the overall selling pressure that's likely to occur. And I'd mentioned some of those levels where we might see support begin to return. I think in terms of the Dow, which ended here today, down over 200 points, but it's at 17,245, and around at 17,000 you're back into area of a little bit more trading, which could offer some support. Same with the S&P, it's at 2023 today, but around the 2000 level, then again it is also in an area where you could begin to expect some support. Looking at what happened this week, though, and especially in here today, because you'll know what's happened during the week, but I'm looking at a sea of red here, and the only market that on my screen, I haven't got every single stock market up on the screen, but I've certainly got all the major ones, and it's only Indonesia, which was up 0.25% in here today. Everything else was to the downside, and some big hits, including in China, particularly in the Hang Seng indices, which had done very well yesterday. But they gave up those gains here today, or a little bit more. And one of the reasons for that is that China is raising the margin requirement. Now, that's a smart move, I think, certainly as far as the medium term is concerned. In the short term, it's a negative, so I think it was announced after the close, and clearly it was anticipated somewhat. I would not be surprised if this caused China to be a bit weaker on Monday. And what's the change? Well, China allowed a lot of leverage prior to this move. Basically, you could invest twice the amount of capital that you, more than twice the amount of capital that you actually had. Let me try to put it in numbers for you that makes sense. And Owens produced an article in his copy here that actually explains this. But if we're talking about Chinese renminbi that an investor who put down 33 and a third renminbi could buy 100 renminbis worth of stock market positions on the old margin requirement. Today, they have to put down 50 renminbi to buy 100 renminbi using the full margin allotment, or as of not today, but as of next week, that will be the margin increase that they will look. So there's still a fair amount of margin in the market, but a little less than before. Again, I think that's a smart move here overall, and I was quite critical when we had that runaway accelerating bull trend in the China Shanghai Composite A shares a few months ago, because they never touched the margin requirement, which was naive. So this is a more sensible policy, as I've mentioned. Now, European stock markets were all lower in here today, not down hugely. But Wall Street was showed moderate losses before the European markets closed. But Wall Street closed on its lows on the day, and I think Wall Street's selling here, not excessive, but the Dow down 1.16%, S&P 1.12%, Nasdaq 1.5%. That will weigh on Europe and quite possibly Asia come Monday. My guess, though, is that as we start to move oversold once again, and as we pull back enough, maybe give up a third of the gains that we saw to the upside during the previous 6 weeks, I think that it would be a reasonable enough reaction and consolidation here overall. Why do I say that? Well, I don't think that there are any significant factors here to drive stock markets lower in the in during the rest of the year. They can always emerge. The market environment is somewhat nervous, somewhat volatile. You probably feel that you've been living through a roller coaster ride in stock markets really since August. And if you when you look at the charts, that's certainly true here. But overall, seasonal factors are better on average at this time. And that includes November, although November is off to a soft start here overall, largely because October, which statistically is a soft month more often than not, but I think that big September or August weakness, and also weakness in September on a retest of the lows, that took or absorbed a lot of selling pressure. And we know the result in October. We had a strong rally. So inevitably, we were going to see some consolidation here in November. Hopefully, the second half of November, and I think there's a good chance second half of November will be a little bit firmer here overall. Then going ahead with seasonal factors, the election cycle in the U.S., the U.S. presidential election cycle I'm referring to, that's favorable more often than not. Yes, we're going to get the U.S. interest rate hike, but that's been well discounted overall. So I don't think that that's anything much to worry about. And I think that as we get into the new year, I think there's a real possibility that we will see the faltering global economy, or the stuttering global economy, I should describe it that way, that we'll see it pick up a little bit. The US has picked up somewhat. The UK has this year, as we know. The European Union helped with Mario Draghi's quantitative easing. is looking somewhat still fragile, but somewhat better. China's been a very soft spot, although we know that it's harder for China to, well, I'll put it the other way around. It's easier for China to measure their economy when they're just looking at the amount of metal bashing that's taking place. It's a little harder for them to gauge the consumer spending side, apparently. We also know that China has stimulative measures in place. And the exception being that margin requirement, but the stimulative measures of quantitative easing should help. We have plenty of quantitative easing occurring in the European Union, also in Japan. So overall, it's a generally favorable monetary background, low interest rates, GDP growth picking up. A little bit in 2016. That's certainly my projection. I think there's a good and decent chance that that will actually happen. So I think we can have nervous markets. That's understandable. But a big bear market beyond the commodity sector. I think that's less likely. It would be good for the global economy if commodities did pick up somewhat. That's not so easy here in the very short term. The big problem is supply. It's not demand. I mean, demand is actually quite strong, but technology, well, I'll put it this way, demand is steady. The big variable in commodities is always supply. And taking crude oil for instance, the demand for crude oil, according to an article that I'll be posting today, is the strongest that it's been in 5 years. But what we also know is that following the Saudi decision to pump much more crude oil in an attempt to break the U.S. fracking industry, that every oil supplier has pumped a lot more oil, and as a result of that, we now have a storage capacity for crude oil is filled almost to the bursting point. And I believe some 3 billion barrels of oil are currently being stored, but demand, as I say, remains reasonably firm and is also picked up because of that that soft oil price. Good news about that big production surplus that we have is any disruptions, whether it's the various wars that are taking place, and certainly plenty of tension within the Middle East, that if somebody or if an accident somewhere caused a serious production disruption, and that does happen from time to time, that we have sufficient oil in those stockpiles. To make sure that there's no major spike in crude oil prices. And that also, well, that's a very, very positive development here. I'll leave it at I'll leave it at that. But while crude oil and other commodities, particularly the industrial commodities, while they remain very depressed, the economies that produce and export those industrial resources are weak overall, and that's a drag on global GDP growth, as I have said previously in these audios. Okay, so where do we actually go? Let's take it first in terms of stock markets in the future. I've talked about a choppy environment overall, but I do think that the next few months are favorable, carrying at least through May in the in 2016. Seasonally, that's a more favorable period overall, and I think that we could well see a modestly steady performance by stock markets against that background. I also feel that the technology-led innovations, which are disruptive, increasing unemployment or making it harder to get full-time jobs or higher-paying jobs. Not everywhere. We've seen improvements, for instance, in labor statistics in the USA. But we know that there's a big headwind out there, just generally around the globe, and it is coming from technology. That's a good thing overall in terms of equities. It's not so good if you're whether you're an accountant or whatever other administrator or on an assembly line somewhere, and you've been replaced by smart computers. So there's a disruptive aspect to it here overall, but it does improve bottom line corporate efficiency, and that should invest. Over beg your pardon, that should. Be an overall favorable factor in terms of equity performance over the medium to longer longer term. Excuse me, that's a point that I've emphasized over and over and over again in these big picture Friday audios. And the accelerated rate of technical innovation development, I think, will be a very positive overall growth factor in the years ahead. So I think that sure we'll get choppy choppy stock markets. I don't think anybody will be surprised by that. But we're far better to far more likely to see gains over the medium to longer term. And then to see declines. That's been my view for several years, and it remains very much my view. We could even see, as I've said before, a secular bull market overall in terms of equities. The odds of that happening are quite high overall. What about other investment areas? Take government bonds. That's the risky one, in my opinion. 35 years of a bull market in terms of falling yields. When you look at U.S. Treasuries and some of the others, but particularly U.S. Treasuries, those are the most important and they'll have the biggest influence across the biggest shadow overall. That I think we're in the base building stage. Here, it's not absolutely clear or clearly defined on the price charts, but I think that improved GDP growth and somewhat higher interest rates would certainly be a headwind for the government bond markets, and I see no reason why we should not be seeing global GDP growth improve somewhat. I've talked at great length about the credit crisis recession and how it takes normally at least 5 to 6 years for economies to get back to any kind of global GDP growth after a credit crisis recession. And then, more importantly, or relevant to this, our current situation, if that credit crisis recession affected all developed economies, then it takes longer. And indeed, I think it's quite clear, and a lot of the historian economists have said that we have seen the. In this, talking really about the aftermath of 2008, the worst credit crisis recession really since the 1930s. And so that takes, could easily take 7, 8 years before you get a little bit closer to normal GDP growth patterns. Well, we're at the stage, should have moved forward from that, we're at the stage now where we should be seeing evidence of that somewhat better GDP growth, and we are. And we're also seeing the stimulus that's actually available as well coming from central banks. That's a positive development here also. So to me, while I think that's a nice tailwind for stock markets, it's clearly a headwind for government bond markets. And I think the risks are high there. And if I had any bonds, I would want to be very much in the short end of the bond market. But 10-year yields, the outlook, I wouldn't be at all surprised. Well, I would think it's pretty clear probability that a year from now that those yields will be higher, and 2 years from now they'll be higher still, and so on. Okay, what about currencies here overall? Again, my view is that the dollar, having had a long secular bear market, that has clearly ended. What we have seen is the first big upward move in the new secular bull market for the US dollar. We've been in a lengthy consolidation period following that big upward move, really since March of this year, and possibly with a little bit of Fed intervention done via the Treasury sector, and surreptitiously, of course, just to prevent that dollar from running up too strongly. And I'm very much hoping that we see a more lengthy consolidation before we get a sustained break above that dollar index level of 100. And just to repeat the point, if I haven't done it earlier on, we're at 98.08, 98 point, beg your pardon, we're at 98.80. Okay. It's up a little bit here today, but it got up to earlier in the week, it got up briefly to 99 and a half before coming back down. I would say that if we were to see a quick move above the 100 level that was extended, and I'm talking about the dollar index, of course, that above the 100 level, that is a headwind not only for the US autonomies, because those are the big, of course, the big multinational companies, which are doing business all over the world, but their consolidated profits for the most part are in US dollars, would mean lower profits overall, somewhat weaker US economy. And the bigger risk still is that there are some emerging market economies which borrowed in US dollars over a year ago because the dollar was very weak, interest rates were low, and there was plenty of liquidity in dollars. So they were borrowing cheaply but did not anticipate the rise in the dollar. And if that, as that rise in the dollar continues, if those economies are not growing, they'll be in a bit of a problem here overall. So in terms of the global economy, it would be best all around if the dollar did not get too much stronger too soon. And that's I think an obvious point, but we will see what the markets do with this. The problem at the moment is that the we know the Fed's everybody knows that the Fed's going to make this interest rate hike in December, barring some unexpected disaster between now and then, which I don't expect. But that would be an exogenous event if it did postpone the Fed's December rate hike. But there's also a case to be made for the U.S. needing somewhat higher rates in 2016. But a restraining factor here will be the situations in other economies, because they're not growing as strongly as the U.S. I'm talking about the European Union, which still has QE. The European Central Bank will not be raising rates anytime soon, nor will the Bank of Japan, in my opinion. I don't think the Bank of China will be raising rates anytime soon either. All three are providing quantitative easing and to stimulate their economies, and also to keep their currencies in check. Is somewhat so that may well limit the Fed's willingness in terms of raising rates. It's one of that's a development that we'll need to monitor very quickly. But suffice it to say, the best thing for the global economy would be if those three regions, Europe, Japan, and China, if their GDP growth is clearly improving somewhat in 2016. I think that will be the case, and that would be a very good thing for the global economy overall. Another very good thing for the global economy would be if we could see commodity exporters. The economies that are mainly commodity exporters, if we could see them improve somewhat, they aren't going to improve until those commodity prices move higher from very depressed levels here overall. That's going to take some time, for sure. So I think that's going to be a concern. Remain a concern, rather. It's already a concern. It's been a concern for quite a while, and it will remain a concern. The commodity prices are not so weak because demand is so bad. Yes, China is not consuming as many commodities as it has in the past, but if you look at overall global demand for commodities, it has come down very little. And in some instances, it's actually moved up. Demand for crude oil, for instance, has been moving up. It's at its highest level in 5 years. But there's so much more supply, and that's true with other commodities. The saving grace in that is that, take a metal producer. Most of these can produce metals more cheaply, and because of the improvements in technology, and therefore that's another factor that helps to keep commodity prices low overall. But my point to round out on this is that we need to see somewhat higher commodity prices overall to improve the economic outlook for those commodity exporting countries. It's going to take a little bit longer here overall, not least in terms of crude oil, which is still the most important commodity by far. And we're getting absolutely massive crude oil production, and demand, which I've just mentioned, is also really quite strong here. But the dramatic production that we're actually seeing is keeping prices very depressed, and with 3 billion barrels of oil being stockpiled, that it's hard for oil prices to rise very much in here. And we may see crude actually temporarily dip just a little bit lower. It's testing its lows. Certainly the Brent crude is testing its lows. It's 44.57 in here today. And the WTI, that's the US contract, that's at $40.73, both down in here again today. So round it all out, I think stock markets quiet, choppy, or not so quiet, choppy, but for developed economies, there's more upside than downside over the medium to longer term. For I think most developing economies, that's also the case, the exception being the resources producers, predominantly resources producers. They will need to see a stronger global economy. And they will also need to see some production cutbacks in their industry. Again, to repeat the point, supply is always the key variable. So they'll need to cut production here somewhat to see those resources prices pick up. So the soft spot in the global economy going forward, and that'll be reflected by their stock markets. Will be in the resources sectors. But as global GDP growth does pick up at some point in, if not 2016, certainly in 2017, we should see some pretty sharp rallies in the commodity sector overall. And I don't think it'll be led by crude oil. But I think crude oil could certainly participate. It's a political game going on here. I've said it many times, but a point worth repeating. The Saudis are responsible for the huge increase in supply. What they should really do is declare, quote, victory, unquote, and reduce supply. And having previously talked as many OPEC producers and other producers around the world that it was in their mutual interests to reduce supply a little bit. If they did that, we'd get crude oil moving into the $70 to $80 price range rather than the $40 price region where it is mid-40s price region where a Brent is today. That would be a significant increase. I think that's probably the biggest increase they could actually get in 2016, something in the $70 to $80 dollar range. that would not damage the oil importers significantly. And it would certainly help the oil exporting economies. Okay, and looking at these other commodities, a similar sort of situation in the industrial metals. Supply is always the key variable. They need to reduce supplies here to get prices somewhat higher. That can be a slow process. No producer wants to be the first in the queue to reduce supplies. They're usually forced to. But eventually, common sense prevails, and they do cut production somewhat, and we do get firmer prices. We also get a lot of short covering within the sector, and then the outlook improves for those resources producers. I think that'll happen. I think it'll start to happen next year, and it will have certainly happened before the end of 2017. We could see some significant rises in commodity prices. On a very long-term basis, the accelerated rate of technological innovation, it's a bit of a disruptor, if not a significant disruptor, but overall, it's good for global stock markets, good for global GDP growth. And that will mean that those of us who are primarily stock market investors, again, the longer term outlook is favorable. And on that note, I better draw this to a close. Wish you a terrific weekend. All the best.